Is there a kind of dance you love? For Robert Farris Thompson, the most beautiful, intimate, and passionate of dances is Argentine tango.
It's not just motion, baby. It's someone that you met and she changes your life. Most of the tango dancers are either lovers, or they should be, or they're married, or they're thinking of someone else. But whatever it is, there's definitely a rapprochement between Adam and Eve going on constantly in tango. I went to Buenos Aires in 1995, and this buddy of mine and his wife, they took me out to not just anywhere, they took me to Café Homero. And that would be comparable to French terms, as if someone had taken me to the Café de Magot when François Sagan was in her heyday and when Sartre was there sipping his little coffee. And so I was taken to this incredible coffee house slash nightclub, and there somehow I remember the lights were all blue. There's a lot of smoke, and Goyeneche came out. And Goyeneche is the Frank Sinatra of tango. And he stared at us intently, and out of his mouth came, "La vida es una herida absurda." And I got goose pimples because that means life is an absurd wound. To polish me off, the great Nicole Nau Klapwijk from a famous Dutch-German dancing team, she was there that night. She's so gorgeous that to have a date with her, I almost give up my career. Then as I got into jazz, I was eventually hip to the presence of this incredible guy who is to the tango what Charlie Parker was to jazz. And Charlie Parker's sax revolutionized jazz. And this man, Astor Piazzolla, his bandoneon, which is a key instrument of tango, he revolutionized the way we look at tango. There were almost 100 Argentine tango dancers in Paris just before World War I. And so the Parisians got the life. They saw them dance. They saw that cold face. They saw that completely controlled, fluid movement. And among the people who was blown away by this, by seeing a taste of the real tango life, even though it was in exile in Paris, was a young man by the name of Baron Megata. And Baron Megata was of the blood royal of Japan. He was distantly related to Hirohito. So here he was, and he fell in love with tango. When he got back to Tokyo, he and another comparably noble Japanese woman, the Duchess of Okama, because they were of the royal family or related, they felt it would be cheap for them to charge. So they taught tango free. And as a result, they imparted steps and a feeling for life through tango. Take Finland, so blonde, so Scandinavian, and yet it is true, believe it or not, that tango was declared the national dance of Finland. Now, how can they absorb the Argentine lifestyle? Well, the truth is that they remake it as a Finnish thing. There's a lot of brooding in the music of Sibelius. Sibelius is one of my favorite composers. And if you listen to him, you see him culturally preparing the Finnish lovers of fine arts and sound for tango. And now the impact is so strong that in the annual Tango Festival of Finland, 147,000 people showed up. That's a city, man. If you listen to it, you're not in Los Angeles anymore. You're not in Dubuque. You're in Buenos Aires, particularly when Eladia Vasquez says, Buenos Aires, if you weren't there when I lift my Venetian blinds early in the morning, I would die. Or Discepolo saying, when I was a kid, you taught me tango, Cafe. I'd press my little nozzle against the glass, blue with cold, and look in. You taught me how to hold a cigarette, how to talk, how to rap to a girl, and so forth. Just one or two isotopes is enough to change your life and enough to give you this yen that you have that can only be cured by going to the milonga, the tango word for dance halls. If nostalgia was a country, tango is its capital. There's a saying, el tango siempre te espera. Tango is always waiting for you, meaning it will test you with one of these life crises. But it is not only testing you, it is a solution, it is the medicine, it is the balm.
Robert Ferris Thompson is a Yale art history professor. His book is called Tango, The Art History of Love.